intention right now is to do a few weeks on prayer just to help me reorient myself to theologically, you know, from Scripture, what I think something like this needs to be aimed at, and then also, and then to share that with you guys and get feedback from you guys. And then also, after that, to more towards the fall, to start a church history series. So that's not exactly going through Scripture, but I think it'll help us to understand, learn from those who've walked before us, and make us better readers and interpreters of Scripture to do that. And that'll be something working through in the fall. Start the early church and talk about why we have things like the Apostles' Creed and what that means and where that came from. We often say, no, even things like the Trinity. How do we get the Trinity? We know it's there. We've always had it. We know that it's essential. Somebody, somewhere, really early on, thought this was really important in the Bible's teaching. So we're going to learn about that. Hope that's something that interests you guys. And I don't think you guys have done anything like that over the last few years, have you? Let's try to talk with Ben and make sure. For tonight, we're going to be in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Verse is actually something that we've got up in our house this week just to think through. And as I've been thinking on it, there's been a situation with a friend of mine who I went to seminary with in Texas who has two short years made a total shipwreck of his ministry, of his marriage, basically, the money that was spent in training him for ministry, total waste. He's embarrassed himself. He's embarrassed his family. And sadly, this is just a recent story, right? I mean, you get into seminary and you have these guys come in and they're preaching to you and they tell you, you know, look around. Count 10 of your buddies. Only a couple of you are going to make it. And no way. There's no way that eight of ten of us are going to fall off. And then, just see how quickly within 2 or 3 years, people are dropping. And this one, close to me, and has really come in as I thought about this particular text, just to remind me that there's some important things that we're exhorted to do in the Christian life. So, I'll just read this, Philippians 4, 8 through 9. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So, Paul's writing this letter to the Thessalonians, and he spends a couple chapters and he's talking about, you know, things like righteousness through faith in Christ. He's talking about Jesus, and he's talking about how he came down and took on human flesh and offered himself up as a servant, even to be nailed to the cross. And he's talking about the gospel, and these are things that this Philippian church understood. These were Christians. They understood that Christ had done these things and that as believers in Christ, they have become new creations, that they are a gospel people. And then Paul works into these lists of exhortations, and he kind of crescendos to this point. And this is part of him working through there, and you can see, you can just hear it, you know, whatever is true, whatever is honorable. It's got a nice sound to it that he's making a point, and he's using his words to do so. And in the Greek, it even sounds better. And it's because what he's saying is so important and so essential to the life. You can't expect an unbeliever to do these things. But as Christians, we are required and commanded to do such things. We're not, we know that we are not free from sin when we come to Christ. We're not completely free from sin, but we are set on a new trajectory. We're set on a trajectory of increasing holiness, whereas before, when you're in the flesh, when you're in your sin, your life is just increasing in sinfulness. It's adding sin upon sin upon sin, but when you're in Christ, your life is headed towards heaven in increasing holiness. Finally, one day, when you see the Lord, that's when there will be no more sin, no more spots, wrinkles, or blemishes, but we know that we're steadily moving that direction. And so part of that is by controlling our minds, thinking through things, creating thought patterns that are leading us towards holiness. That's what this is doing. And so I'm going to walk through some things it tells us to think about. At first he says, whatever is true. So by true here, he's talking about just a general category of things that are true. It's a big picture. What is categorized by truthfulness? And it's in a moral sense. So some of those things that are true, the truest things are those things that are about God. I mentioned the Trinity earlier. That's something that's true. And it's a beautiful, glorious truth about God that we should be setting our minds on. And so it's not just that we avoid things that are untrue, which is part of it, but it's that we take intentional steps to think on things that are true. And the truest things of all are those things of God. And then he talks about things, he says, whatever is honorable. So what's respectful, reverent, full of dignity? Think on those things. It's just the opposite of something that's vain and vulgar. We've all met people who are vain and vulgar. And we don't want to be like those. We don't want to hear them. I think it's interesting. One of the things that seems to change the quickest when somebody comes to Christ is their use of language, right? I've known people that they'd give a sailor a run for their money any day in the way they'd cuss. They'd get saved, and it was like overnight. They would quit using foul language. You need to think about things that are honorable. And then just. So whatever accords with this divine standard of justice, those are the kind of things that we need to think about. That means that we need to think about things that fulfill obligations to God and to others. In Italy, people lived over there for almost 20 years. One of their societal virtues is being almost like sneaky. To outwit somebody else. We don't actually have a word that translates this particular Italian word, but it's basically to try to catch somebody, to get something, to get the better of them. That's a value in their society, but that's not just. As Christians, we're to be just. Things that are just. And then pure. So we're talking about things that are chaste and innocent and upright, not filthy. Lovely. We're to think about things that are attractive. Agreeable. And then commendable. So what are the kind of things that draw people, right? Or that you would want to share with someone? Those are the kind of things. And then he kind of caps it off. If there's any excellence, any worthy of praise, think about these things. So we're talking about, you know, a moral excellence, not just beautiful building, but a moral excellence. What is so morally excellent? What is like God in that sense that we would want to think about it and praiseworthy? You know, what are things that get admired and applauded for being good, right? And we're told to dwell, to ponder on these things. And it's about training our minds to have these thought patterns and practices that are godly. That are moving us towards. There's a promise associated with it. He says, well, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. So by thinking on these things, on these holy, godly things, there's a peace associated with it. How true is it that when you're focused on these things that reflect God's character, these morally excellent things, that there's a sense of peace that's associated with God's presence. When we fail to think on such things, and when we get caught up into some kind of, it doesn't have to be pornography. It can just be a TV show that's just really not helpful. And when we watch 3 or 4 episodes, and that's just moved us further away from God, not reflected God in that sense. So, just quickly, I've got some guidelines just that I've been thinking through for what kind of things we should think on and what kind of things we should allow into our minds. And I've got 4 of them. The first one is just to ask, can I thank God for this? So this particular book or this particular show or this particular conversation, is this something I can thank God for giving me? Number 2, would I want a family member to be involved in it? Easy example would be something like a restaurant like, you know, would I want my daughter to be working there? So why would I go support this? Why would I want a family member involved in it? Would I want my brother, you know, working at the casino? Why would I go be involved in it? And then thirdly, does it portray sin in a positive light? So, by a certain standard, you could say that if you took this to in a wrong way, you couldn't look at anything. You couldn't listen to anything. You couldn't watch any TV or do anything like that. And that's not necessarily the case. Because there is sin, and there are things that are not of the light in life. And so if, a television show portrays life in as it is in reality, there's going to be darkness in there. But it depends on how it portrays it. Is it making light of the sin? I know that there was a certain point in my Christian walk that I gave up country music for about a year. And I don't think there's anything intrinsically wrong with country music, but... Yeah, I was listening to things like Hank Williams. A lot of his songs by Hank Jr., who a lot of his songs are things like, Hank, why do you drink? To get drunk. You know, things like that, that glorify sin. As opposed to maybe somebody like Hank Williams, who's singing a song that expresses the reality sin, or there are plenty of things like Willie Nelson songs that really express things that are sinful, but in a way that doesn't make light of them, in a way that actually shows you the darkness that's there. And so there's a difference. And then the last one is, does this thing bring me closer or further to God? And we discussed that one a minute ago a little bit, but just asking, looking at this, is reading this, is it going to bring me closer to the Lord? Is it going to push me away? Is a good question to ask. So, just finally, one thing that we have to do is to soak ourselves in the Word to be able to remember these things, to be able to spot these things. If we don't have God's Word in our life constantly, we're not going to be able to spot what's lovely as opposed to what's unattractive and defiled. And then secondly, I think this is especially true for my generation, you're going to have to get ready to be weird. Because when there are things when you say that you don't do, or that you don't participate in, you won't go there, the world's going to think that you're weird. But I think it's going to be a weirdness that's attractive. I think it's going to be a weirdness that commends the Lord to people when you present it rightly. Just in only allowing those things that are good and pure to dwell in our minds, we're going to be considered weird, and we're going to have to be okay with that. That's all I've got on that. Any thoughts? I'm happy to take any thoughts on the passage. Pray. Probably. Yeah.